Welcome to Office Hours here at the SiriusXM studios in the lobby of the Wynn Las Vegas. And I'm here with my dream team, the co-host with the most, repeat offender, sister of mine, Lacey Book, the founder of Well Infused. Thanks for joining me again.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And of course, we have the legend of comedy. I mean, the UFC, Forrest Griffin is in the house. Thank you, my brother.
I didn't have any choice.
I know. Jewish guilt reigns true on Office Hours. And finally, the anchorman, the amazing entrepreneur and executive coach, Daryl Stinson. Thank you for joining me.
What up?
All right. You guys are going to enjoy our next guest. He's not only one of the world thought leaders, but he actually coaches and trains world thought leaders from the billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, entertainers, from Will Smith down. Jim Quick has been changing the world by changing the meaning of our past, which is always what limits us in our future. He's written the book twice about Limitless. He has the extended and expanded edition behind him. Welcome back to Office Hours, Jim Quick.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, everybody, for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Well, it's an MBA in a day in the brain world when you're talking to the number one podcaster of brain performance in the world, the number one author of brain performance in the world. So I'm going to start off with a quagmire query that I've been thinking about when I think about Jim Quick. Habits. I am one of the most consistent people in the world. I work within relativity and time to formulate a conscious continuum. I study habits. And a lot of people talk about creating habits, Jim, but real habits are lasting. And I think that's where most human beings need help is I can create a habit. I can create my journals in the list, but how do we make our habits last so they have exponential impact on our lives?
So we've heard the phrase, first you create your habits, then your habits create you, right? You create your habits of meditation or reading or working out or going to sleep at a certain time, whatever. Those habits create you back. According to Duke University, about 40% of what we do daily, our behavior is habitual. And so when did we actually sit down and design those habits to win more in life? Maybe we could think about what would be a good habit, maybe like reading. That would be a great habit. It's great exercise for the mind. People always ask, like, what's the number one thing you could do to like be mentally fit? You mentioned Will Smith. We were on set, and I remember in his trailer, I was asking him, like, what's two things you do for performance? He's like, I have to run every day. I have to read every day. So if you've seen photos of me with Oprah or Elon or whoever, people always, you know, they tend to follow up and ask, like, how do you meet? How do you connect? And we bonded over books, right? You read to succeed. So let's say you want to read every day. You know, even if you're not, we teach people how to triple their reading speed. But if you're just regular reading, and I would say one of the keys is you want to make what's good for you easier and what's not so good for you more difficult. And that's really by controlling your environment. And that kind of makes sense, common sense, not always common practice. And I have this video with Simon Sinek, about 8 years old, on Facebook. And it's just me saying, it has 38 million views. It just like, don't touch your phone the first 30 minutes of the day or the last 30 minutes of the day, because that's a habit, right? So in order to make it, if you don't want to engage in that because it makes you distracted, it affects your sleep and so on, then just putting the phone in the bathroom would be an example of controlling your environment. So you're taking something, or if you don't want to, you know, binge eat those snacks, easier just not to have those snacks in the home. Obviously that's easier. So for reading, same thing. You know, for me, like working out, I have a chin-up bar in my office doorway. I have a kettlebell right there. So I just want to make it really super easy for me to engage in that habit. There's less friction, if you will. So there's studies that have shown that when you read at night, it actually helps you to relax and reduces your stress. You get better quality sleep. So having that book on the nightstand, you know, for me also, though, I kind of use fiction books there. I have many shelves full of nonfiction books. I read those during the day, but now fiction books, I kind of don't want to be thinking about business or neuroscience at night and get in my executive brain. So reading light fiction really does the trick for me. And then the idea here is also stacking habits. There's this idea that James Clear, who we have had on the podcast, who wrote Atomic Habits, talks about, is just like the goal is you can miss one day, right? And one day is a mistake. You miss one day of working out, one day of eating right, one day of reading, but you never miss 2 days, because if you miss 2 days in a row, that's not a mistake. That's the start of another habit, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the most important things to think about for your habits is, you know, it's evidence that really at a meta level is that you are who you say you are. And, you know, even following through on things, doing those difficult things, I think life is difficult for one of two reasons. Either, you know, you're leaving your comfort zone, you're starting that business, you're talking to that person, you're doing new things, right? Going to school, whatever. Or life is difficult because you're staying in your comfort zone, right? I mean, the truth is change can be hard. Growth can be scary, but nothing is as hard and scary as being stuck somewhere you don't belong, right? Being stuck, being limited, if you will. And so, I would start with, there's only four things you could do to make your life better when it comes to change. I just like to super simplify things. You either stop something, you start something, you do less of something, or you do more of something. I don't want to oversimplify it, but that's really the choices. There's a quote in my book, Limitless, that says, life is the letter C between B and D. And I would have your listeners write that down. Life is C between B and D, where B stands for birth and D stands for death. Life C is choice, right? Your life is a sum total of all the choices you made up to this point. And, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to spend time with, what are you going to do, focus on whatever. And I believe these difficult times, they could distract you. These difficult times, they could diminish you. Or these difficult times, they could develop you. You ultimately decide. But there's only four choices for change. Stop something, start something, do less of something, do more of something. So do stop something. You stop smoking. You know, you start meditating. You do less of something. You do less scrolling or binge watching Netflix, and you do more movement. You know, that would be a clear example. So that's kind of like a little bit.
He wrote the book, and now we got Lacey booked to ask about the book.
I know. I love all of this. And I actually have so many questions around habits and habits versus behaviors and how they're different. But I'm going to take a turn, because I've been in healthcare now for surprisingly 26 years. I actually own two healthcare franchises. I own one in the chiropractic space, and I own one in the longevity space called Well Infused. And in my time in healthcare, I have seen more and more people suffering with memory issues. Like, it's astounding how many patients come in that we see like having difficulty with this problem. And I'm wondering how far back that goes. How early on in our lives does this start to develop? So if you were able to redesign how we teach memory and learning in the school system, what would you change?
Great question.
Great question. No pressure. Yeah, I really think it should have been class in school. They teach you 3 R's in school: reading, writing, arithmetic. Okay. Obviously, spelling's not one of them. But what about recall? What about retention? Mm-hmm. Right? Socrates said, "Learning is remembering." You know, you can only make good decisions. The reason why it's so important, even with Google and AI and everything, is you can only make good decisions if our life is this. The quality of our decisions, then you can only make decisions based on information you know. And if you know it, it means you must remember it. Mm. I lost my grandmother to Alzheimer's. She was my hero growing up. You know, we donated all the proceeds to the book to build schools for children around the world and Alzheimer's research for women. Women are twice as likely to experience Alzheimer's than men. A lot of that, you know, brain aging challenges come decades before. Yeah. But a few things to think about. I mean, we teach process, right? People could listen to our podcast. We have 100 million downloads and how to remember names and languages and remember what you read, everything. That's a software. But also just want to remind everyone to take care of the hardware, regardless of your age or stage in life. Simple acronym, MEDSRX, very quickly. M, meditation. You have to disconnect to reconnect, right? Chronic stress will shrink the human brain. It helps you to be able to manage your stress. There's so many other benefits. It trains your focus, which is very important for memory. A lot of people blame their retention when it's not their retention, it's them paying attention. They're not forgetting the name. They're just not hearing the name, right? They're not present. So the M is meditation. It's great exercise and pulling your focus back. The E in meds is exercise. So much research has been done. You know, as your body moves, your brain grooves. You know, getting in your steps, doing your resistance training. When you exercise, you create dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, which are so important to cognitive health. generally what's good for your heart is going to be good for your head. You have more blood flow, you have more oxygen going to your brain. You also, when you exercise, you create BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factors, which is like fertilizer for neuroplasticity, helping improve your memory. People exercise actually have larger hippocampus, which is really the nexus for memory. The D in meds, RX, is diet. What you eat matters, especially for your gray matter. So we write chapters in this on neuronutrition. Your brain's only 2% of your body mass, but it requires, 3% maybe, but it requires 20% of nutrients, and some of them's different. And everyone's still a bio-individual. Take a food sensitivity, microbiome test, whatever. Generally, my favorite are avocados, blueberries, wild-caught salmon, sardines for your omega-3s, turmeric. Active ingredients, cumin, which could be good, walnuts, dark chocolate, and so on. And that's your diet. And then the RX part, the R relationships. You know, I spent a lot of time in senior centers, maybe because I lost my grandparents at a very early age, and I helped them polish off their memories. I also hear a lot of regrets, you know, in terms of, you know, which informs me in terms of living my life, you know, with, you know, working backwards and not letting other people's opinions and expectations really mitigating that, so it doesn't affect my my performance and my decisions. But relationships are so important. We had on our podcast the director, founding director of the largest study at Harvard on happiness and longevity, and they said, yes, exercise is important, yes, nutrition is important, but what outweighs that are the depth of your relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just your neural networks, it's your social networks. And then finally, the X in MedsRx is the extras, the cold plunging, the infrared saunas, you know, the nootropics. You know, we have a great guide. We talk about 30 different nootropics, which are substances that have been shown scientifically to improve focus, memory, mood, and mental energy. You can get that at brainnutrition.com. If you don't want to get the book, it's free. It will give you the link to all the studies, and hope it's useful.
Jim, thank you. I know how you got into your career path, but how did you actually like make it a career path and get paid? Because it doesn't seem like anybody was doing what you do. Like, you're kind of a one-on-one in your space. How did you go from like a field that didn't really exist to kind of creating a field? And did you have any mentors that helped you do it?
Yeah, of course. It takes a village. You know, honored to have David as a long tour. You know, before that, I just had books, you know, that inspire me, a kind of friend of mine, if you will. So, you know, when I speak at events, I do these memory demonstrations. So I pass my microphone, I'll memorize 100 people's names. And I always tell people, I don't do this to impress you, I do this to express to you. My inspiration was my desperation. I had a traumatic brain injury, as many people know, when I was 5. I had learning challenges. It took me 3 years longer to learn how to read. I had migraines every day, focus issues, memory issues. When I was 9 years old, I was slowing down to class and I was being teased. Teacher pointed to me and said, leave that kid alone. That's the boy with the broken brain. So that was my identity. It wrecked my self-esteem, my self-confidence, my own self-worth. And I struggled with that every single day until I was 18. And eventually I got turned on by a mentor to the power of the mind. I started learning accelerated learning and all these different things. Light switch flipped on about 60 days, and I just started to do better in school. But I couldn't help but help other people, because shame on any of us if we could, you know something and that's helped us and others struggling in the same ways and we don't do something. And I started to tutor, and one of my very first students, she was a college freshman. Get this, she read 30 books in 30 days, not skim or scan, but she read them. And I wanted to find out not how I taught, you know, we teach people how, I want to know why, her purpose. And I found out her mother was dying of terminal cancer. Doctors gave her mom only 2 months to live. And the books she was reading were books to save her mom's life. Mm. I wish her prayers, good luck. 6 months later, I get a call from this young lady. She's crying profusely. And I find out when she stops, her tears of joy, that her mother not only survived, but is really getting better. The doctors are baffled. They don't know how or why. They called it a miracle. But her mother attributed 100% to the great advice she got from her daughter, who learned it from all these books. And in that moment, I realized two things, that if knowledge is power, learning is our superpower. And it's a superpower we all have, but we just weren't taught how to access it, right? School taught us what to learn, math, history, science, Spanish, but no classes on how to learn, no class on focus or creativity, memory, you know, speed reading, whatever. And the other thing I learned was my dharma, my mission. is to build better, brighter brains. You know, growing up with as a slow learner with a broken brain, I want to build better brains and help people be a faster learner, tap into more of their genius. Because we live in the millennium of the mind. None of you are paid for just your brute strength. Like it was thousands of years ago. You're paid for your brain strength, your ability to solve problems, your ability to innovate, your ability to focus, make good decisions. You know, so it's not muscle power, it's mind power. But we upgrade our technology all the time, our phones, our apps. I mean, just think about it. But when's the last time we upgraded the most important technology found between our ears? And that's why I wrote Limitless. That's why I do the work that I do.
Awesome. Thank you.
So good. So good, man. Dude, I was thinking about a lot of these conversations I have with David. He's a mentor of mine. And one of the things I do is I help people to fully express themselves through their stories. And I work with a lot of gifted entrepreneurs. And I see this common in David. I see this common in a lot of entrepreneurs I work with, is that I call it the expert's dilemma. What's foundational for them is revelational to other people. It's like, I just do this thing. It's just this thing that I do. And they're like, it's no big deal. And it's like, no, actually slow that down, unpack that a bit, because there's nuances in the way that you're doing it that's actually important for me to replicate some of the results you're experiencing. So I'm wondering from you, like, what comes foundational to you that's really revelational to other people that you're like, it's not big deal, but people are like, whoa. And could you break down what are some nuances that have helped you to develop that skill?
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. You know, from one coach to another, you know, I do believe that genius leaves clues, and genius is, for me, is about pattern recognition. Mm. You know, people who could achieve a certain result, and genius in every area of life, whatever people have a certain expertise in, they see things, you know, in financial markets or in health patterns or in social media marketing. Or for me, I've really focused on, you know, patterns of how people learn. I think the faster you learn, the faster you earn. Knowledge today isn't only power, it's profit. So my three domains are three M's, and I call it the limitless model. It's if you feel limited, you're not advancing. So you feel like you're in a box. Mm-hmm. So if imagine you're stuck in a box. As a coach, I want to get people out of that box. Yep. Because they're stuck. And that box is three dimensional. So the three forces that contain that box, these are the same three forces that will liberate anybody outside that box, where they redraw the borders and boundaries of what's possible. And those three things are represented by your mindset, your motivation, and your methods. Now, most people want to go straight to the methods. This is how you read faster. This is how you give a speech without notes. This is how you focus on command, whatever that we teach, right?
Yeah.
But common sense is not common practice. Yep. You know, what keeps people from doing those things are the first two M's, mindset and motivation. Mm. So that framework is the lens I look at everything through. I look at where the country is based on mindset or motivation. What methods are we using to get to there? Mm. And of course, you have to upgrade your methods, right? You know, you know, people have to upgrade as with new knowledge, the methods for getting healthy, for influencing, for sales, for marketing, you know, based technology, for learning. But the mindset, you know, really could keep people stuck, right? If you believe money is the root of all evil, that's your mindset, or you have to hurt people to make money, that you could have the methods, but you're still stuck in that box, right? Because you're not going to be able to work your way out of that. And somebody who have a limitless mindset, believe it's possible, they're capable of it. They have great methods for reaching that goal, but they're not motivated to get out of that box. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's why we have this formula for limitless motivation that we talk about. But all three have to be addressed. So that's the biggest meta framework I look at when I want to institute change, you know, with an individual or organization. You know, I see where the block is. Is it, do they not believe it's possible? Is their mindset? Are they not motivated to do it? And then there's interventions there. Or are they just using old antiquated methods for achieving that goal? Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah. I really feel like a lot of people downgrade their dreams to meet the current situation when they should upgrade their mindset, their motivation, the methods they're using to be able to meet their destiny.
So good.
One thing I've learned from being a friend, a co-mentor with Jim Quick, is that when we look at the limitless, infinite system that we belong to, and it's a unified system of thought that we belong to, it is truly these limitations that we put on ourselves in the meaning that we give certain things. And Jim's helped to help me understand that, as we know that this infinite source, this infinite system, is much bigger than the circumstances, and people are limited by those circumstances. And through the motivation methodology, and of course the mindset, and repetitive through the interview, you just keep hearing how powerful your brain is, mm-hmm. and how powerful the retention of knowledge is, and the speed in which we access it as well. Jim Quick, you are inspiring millions of people. Make sure, if you're interested, where can they go You give so many free resources. Where's the best domain to go to?
The best is go to mybrainanimal.com. Mybrainanimal.com. We give you, we're making it free to your audience, 4-minute assessment. You can determine in 4 minutes your primary brain type. You know, and I use animals. And once you know your animal brain, then we give you free strategies on how to read faster, remember namespaces, learn a language, focus on command based on your dominant brain type. Because it's not how smart you are, it's how are you smart. It's not how smart your kids are, it's how are they smart. So just text your team, text your kids, your family, see what their brain type is. And we even give you strategies on how to hire, train, manage, sell based on brain types. And so, and then I would love everyone to take a screenshot, you know, of this, and then wherever they're consuming it, and tag Dave, you know, Lacey Forrest, Daryl, everybody, and then just like share your brain or one thing you got out of this conversation, like, hey, I'm gonna eat some more blueberries, or hey, I'm gonna put a book by my nightstand, or, you know, something to be able to activate that. I'll repost because you'll tag us, and I'll gift out a few copies of this book randomly just as a thank you for watching the show.
Beautiful.
He is amazing, and he is a quick learner, and we are blessed to have him as part of our community. The amazing Jim Quick joining us here at SiriusXM Studios at the Wynn Las Vegas. I'm David Meltzer. Thanks for joining us on Office Hours.